Okay, our next presentation is a quantification freeze damage, spring freeze damage to field acclimated winter wheat and potential yield impacts by Dr. Sports from Ohio State. Thank you.
Hi, thank you. So looking at winter wheat is planted in the fall where it germinates and then goes dormant in the winter. In the early spring it resumes growth and matures in early summer. One approach that breeders have taken to kind of maximize yield is to try to push the wheat to resume growth earlier in the spring. With this, it leaves it more susceptible to early spring freeze damage. So looking at the peak growth stage of wheat, at peak 6 is when it transitions to reproductive growth, and that node is starting to move above the soil. It's starting to become more susceptible to freeze damage at the growing point. Some other important stages that we want to look at are peak 8 when the flag leaf emerges, which accounts for 80% of the photosynthates used during seed fill. And then our third stage we're interested in is at flowering, peaks 10.5.1, when the anthers are emerged and very susceptible to freeze damage. So some common freeze disease symptoms are kind of the burnt leaves, twisting in this flag leaf. There's 50% of your flag leaf gone, so that could reduce yield by 50%. But also in the head damage, it can leave bleached spikelets and bleached awns that can be confused with Fusarium head blight, but also reduces seed number and overall yield. It can be difficult to quantify after a freeze event, so that was one leading into our objectives. We wanted to evaluate some of the potential yield losses associated with freeze damage, and also evaluate some different methods to quantify those. Our goals were to update the current freeze guidelines for Ohio wheat, and then also provide some potential yield losses and some methods to quantify those. So looking at our experimental design, we used a split plot randomized complete block design, where the main plot factor was temperature. We had 5 temperature treatments at each growth stage. And then we had 5 varieties we looked at. This for our treatments was a 15-minute temperature duration at the treatment. So looking at the growth stages, growth stage 6 went to a negative 16 degrees was a low treatment, whereas peaks 8 was only down to negative 10, and peaks 10.5.1 was only down to negative 5, just kind of adjusting the treatments to match the temperature range at those different growth stages. We also did these at 2 locations. So basically we would go to each location. This map kind of shows our locations. They're about 200 miles apart. This year they varied by about two weeks between growth stages. But we would go out at a specific growth stage and collect 100 plants. It would be the 5 temperature treatments from the 5 different varieties and then the 4 replicates. We had a modified golf tee cutter where we would take a 4-inch soil core right out of the row and place that in a pot. We then brought that back to the lab where they were placed in a cold room at 4C overnight to acclimate. The next morning, each rep was placed into its own freeze chamber that was set at 4C. So they were loaded in 25 plants, and then the temperature was set to drop at 2C per hour. These aluminum foil on the picture represents our dedicated temperature plants. That picture on your right shows we had a soil temperature probe in the pot, a thermocouple in the crown, and then 2 in the canopy, a mid and the upper. And that's how we monitored our temperatures for our treatments. So as the temperature hit each specific treatment, we took those plants out, placed them back in the 4C cooler overnight. And then the next day, we measured dark-adapted chlorophyll fluorescence. That following day after the chlorophyll fluorescence measurements, we moved them out into an open-air greenhouse where they were grown out to maturity. They were watered and fertilized as needed so that it was not limiting. Then at physiological maturity, they were harvested where we collected plant height, seed weight, seed number, and heads per pot. So here is this graph, or these graphs show the yield expressed in relative seed weight on the y-axis. We compared the yield to the control plant. So at the 4C is our control plant, where it was 100% yield. Then on the x-axis is the temperature treatments. The graphs vary in width because I wanted to maintain a consistent x-axis as we went down through. But as you can see at peak 6, they had the yield decrease kind of started around the negative 10. One thing we noticed about the pickaway location is that the yield, it was 2 weeks ahead of the wood location. So the yield at the lower treatment, it had time for secondary and tertiary tillering after our freeze treatment. So the yield wasn't quite as impacted on that last one. The Feex 8, there wasn't as much tillering, and you can see it drastically decreased at negative 4. Also at Feex 10.5.1, there was kind of a location difference. The pickaway location was kind of water stressed, which can kind of reduce freeze tolerance, whereas the Wood County had saturated water soil, where more water in the plant can increase freeze stress. I think that went the wrong way. Okay, so looking at grain quality, we've seen similar trends in the 1,000, on my y-axis I have 1,000 seed kernel weight. And at peaks 6 and 8, we see a similar trend where at the kind of those described temperatures, it really drops off the seed weight or the 1,000 kernel weight. But interestingly, at the Feex 10.5.1, it didn't drop off quite as drastically. There was a slight decrease at negative 5, but not comparative to the change in seed weight. So looking at seed number at that Feex 10.5.1, where I said the floret or the anthers were emerged, at that growth stage when freeze occurs, it can cause floral sterility, which would be a direct reduction in seed number. And the seed number did kind of represent the similar trends we've seen in seed weight as far as losses. This has the seed number on the y-axis relative to the control. So moving into how we attempted to quantify freeze damage. I mentioned after the freeze, the day following the freeze event, we did dark adapted chlorophyll fluorescence where leaf clips were placed on the leaves. And then we measured chlorophyll fluorescence, which kind of quantifies how well the photosystem 2 can capture electrons, or more traditionally, kind of it's a way to represent the leakage, I guess, of the thylakoid membrane. So these kind of did show a decrease as the temperatures decreased, but they weren't as significant. It kind of hit the floor at, you know, 0.6, so it didn't quite, it doesn't look to quite correlate to the drastic yield decreases we saw as far as in the same magnitude. Also for these graphs, we combined locations just for showing trends in the quantification methods we used. At the visual ratings, so 7 and 10 days after the freeze treatment, we did visual ratings from a top and a side view using a scale similar to the one shown here. So on my y-axis, I have the living percent living plant relative to the control, where we did see a drastic decrease as the temperatures dropped. One interesting thing was this was the 21 days after freeze event. The Feex 10.5.1 looks like it didn't suffer as bad of treatment as the Feex 8. But one thing to consider is that this was 21 days after flowering, which the plants were starting naturally to senesce. So as they were compared to the 4C control, which was starting to senesce, that's kind of why we have the inflated visual rating. The Canapeo is an app that you take a picture, and so once again we did 7 and 21 days after freeze treatment. We took a top and a side picture. The app then takes the picture and converts green pigments to white and then everything else to black, and it gives a percent white to black. So this also it was similar, the rapid decrease, but it looked like it dropped a little earlier where the treatments were starting at like the negative 6 Celsius for the Feex 6. So it might have over-represented the amount of damage a bit. So since we had 9 basic methods with the visual, the Canapeos, in the chlorophyll fluorescence. We use a stepwise regression model to kind of rank them by R squared, so I chose the first two. They were all significant, these ones that are shown, but I ranked them by the one that covered the most, represented the most of the data the best, I guess, with a variable. So we can see at the pickaway peak 6 that the visual 21 days after at pickaway, whereas the wood 8, it was the 7 days after visual, which is kind of interesting. As I said, at the peak 6 pickaway, the plants looked dead at 7 days after, but then with the secondary and tertiary tillering after 21 days, they had kind of regrown, so that's, I think, why it fit a little better. But the 7 days seemed to do very well, 0.7 at Wood County, 0.6. Looking at the FEEX 10.51, we were kind of seeing the 21 days after freeze for the visual had kind of the best fit. It wasn't that great overall. So in my conclusions, I have here listed the current recommendations at a 2-hour freeze duration. Our recommendations are lower because we were only having a 15-minute duration. So that obviously made a big deal at the peak 6, where it went from down to negative 10. But one thing to consider is that water stress and duration is very important. Even the peak 8 was slightly lower. But as far as quantifying the loss, we would have to recommend the visual ratings had the best representative. I would have to say that the 7 days after freeze, probably for peaks 8 and or 6 and 8, and for peaks 10.5.1, I would recommend that the 21 days after. But that's I guess rather artificially. You really got to look at the seed number at the heads, kind of examine how your pollination went on. So with that, I have some acknowledgments. I'd like to thank my advisor Laura Lindsay, my committee, the technician Matt Hankinson, and all the members in lab that helped me collect the plants and harvest them. So with that, I'll take any questions. We had a thermocouple in the crown, but we weren't able to identify when ice nucleation occurred as far as the spike in temperature. So the question was, as I'm talking about the fluorescence and the spikelets, what's the definition of damage? It was the damage would have been the floral sterility or the depth of the anther and the stigma where there was no seed, I guess. We didn't dissect it on that small of a scale. It was more of a large scale approach where we were looking at comparing like head number versus, and we counted for head length. And then use that to kind of standardize your seed number. So.
Because under those very cold temperatures in the crop I'm working at, the ratio between the developed and the sterile seed is really a good response to the cold stress, not just the absolute number of sterile seed, but that ratio between developed and developed.
Okay. He had mentioned that the crop he's working with, there's a good ratio between sterile florets and viable seeds. And that's what we were kind of looking at that stage, rather than obviously the seed quality and the overall yield. We did see a drastic yield increase, which was associated with the drastic drop in seed number.
Do you think chlorophyll fluorescence is also a good measurement for extending operating hours?
I know they use it a lot for breeding, as far as just on the per leaf. It was because we do get a nice spread when you're looking at it, just the chlorophyll fluorescence. But as far as correlating it to yield, it did, did not work. But yeah, as far as freeze tolerance, it's a good method.
Okay.